Hi, readers. Welcome to Books Connect Us from Penguin Random House. This is a podcast about staying connected with each other and the stories and authors who inspire us. Today's guest is Nick Stone, the critically acclaimed and New York Times bestselling author of titles such as Dear Martin, Jackpot, Clean Getaway, and her latest, Dear Justice. Angie Thomas, author of The Hate U Give, called Dear Martin a must-read, while author John Green described it as powerful and wrenching. Here's Nick Stone in conversation with her friend, Random House Digital Director, Elizabeth Ward.
Well, hi, Nick Stone.
What's up, girl?
It's so good to see your face.
I know, right? The people listening won't, but you know.
I know. That's true. Nick, it's so good to talk to you today. I miss you. I miss humans.
Humans are nice. I have there are three in my house, and they're all in possession of ding-a-lings, and it has been quite the adventure, let me tell you.
What's going on in your house?
Just a lot of like pee and farting and lots of things like shaking and booming. And there are times when I feel like there's an earthquake. I literally had to pitch our family tent in the backyard because I have been unable to work in my home office. It is right beneath my 7-year-old's bedroom. And so it's like trying to work with elephants stampeding across the Sahara over my head. And it's a no-go. It's not working. So yeah, the tent's outside.
So your tent is now your home office outside, away from your kids. Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
Golden beanbag snitch in there is like, it's like my seat. And I just go in there and I have my little oasis. I turn off, it's actually been really helpful because like I turn off my Wi-Fi and I leave my phone in the house. So like there's nothing to distract me and I like just write in there. It's magic.
That is probably the best quarantine situation I have heard of so far, to be honest.
Can't complain. Yeah.
I have kind of similar situation in that I'm in my first year of marriage. And there's nothing quite like ruining the honeymoon phase than quarantine and just never having access to any other people. So we are surviving, I would say, because we're lucky that we have separate workspaces. So I'm kind of holed up in the one area and he's in the other and we can shut the door. And the shutting the door, honestly, I feel like is saving my marriage right now because I mean, we're just both on so many calls and things like that. So yeah, I'm pretty much like, see you at lunch, bye. And then we can have our separate spaces.
Yeah. So I've been married for a decade. And my partner is magic. Like he is the only reason I'm able to do anything. And he is on leave from work for the next year, which just worked out perfectly because he just gets to stay home with the kids and we continue our benefit. Like we continue to get health insurance and travel benefits, et cetera. So I like him though. You know, after a while, you just kind of settle into a rhythm and he puts up with my bullshit. He doesn't really have any bullshit. He's a good dude. I'm glad you figured out a system. It's good to stay married when you can.
Good to stay married when you can. And also, you know, I hate to be alone, so I'm grateful that I am with somebody right now. Not everybody is, so I'll take it. I will definitely take it. So how else are you passing the time besides hanging out with your little ones and your husband?
Lots of reading, lots of writing, lots of working out, actually. I am determined to be hotter than Jason Reynolds. I think right now Jason Reynolds is probably like the hottest kidlit author according to like popular opinion. So I am determined to surpass him in that. And so I did a dry April. I didn't have a drop of alcohol in the month of April. And I was doing this thing that I called squats over shots. And like it's working. So I'm just going to keep at that. And then I'm also just like, I don't know. Self-care is like a super important thing right now. Not putting too much pressure on myself to like be productive. I find that the less pressure I put on myself to be productive, the more productive I am. So lots of like
totally agree
beauty stuff. Like I'm I will not tell you what I spent during the Sephora VIB sale the other day on like facial products and masks and beauty vitamins and a bunch of stuff that just makes me feel good. You know, I think it's important
totally
to make yourself feel good when you can.
I totally agree. And that makes me have to ask, because I might say that you might be the hottest Kidlit author because you are always so good about your hair and makeup routine. So now that we're in a situation where we're not really out and about, and part of self-care, you know, putting on makeup sometimes makes me feel good about myself, you know? So I'm wondering, like, what are your beauty routines right now and your at-home looks? What are you doing?
I am actually wearing very little makeup these days. Like, I'll wear makeup if I'm creating like video content for Instagram or, you know, I'm working on a YouTube channel. This is going to be a real adventure. I kind of wish we could do the video because my hair looks amazing right now. I used a diffuser for the first time yesterday. But with regard to like products and stuff, I've been using, I love a good mask, like a facial mask. I love Glossier is a brand that I love. Glam Glow is a brand that I love. There's a brand called Rosin that I really love. Aesop is a brand out of Australia that's really great. I have an absurd number of masks and serums and there's this new, so like my serums, I don't mess with any other serums now than there's a new company called Aethera Beauty. It's Aethera. I promise this is not a paid ad. I just really love this stuff. there are two different lines, but it's three serums in the line. There's like a morning one, a night one, and one that you use both morning and night. And the sativa ones are just like, they have changed my skin and I love them. But like, I'm not even gonna lie, like a bitch is kind of bougie about skincare. So just putting that out there. I do want to
say.
No,
but I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I mean, look, we are in a global pandemic and I am under no illusions about how charmed my life is, you know? And I think that like, as we sit talking about beauty products and hair stuff and just feeling good in your own skin, I constantly have to remind myself that most people are not having this kind of quarantine experience. So yeah. And then I go like, do 10 push-ups and make a donation, you know? Like I'm like trying to balance gratitude with action and enjoyment of life has been the lesson of quarantine for me, you know?
I totally hear that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that I've been thinking a lot about because I'm spending a lot more time on my phone, but I do need those breaks to put it down. But I feel like on one hand, I'm being flooded by face mask and like hair mask ads, and I have definitely given in to some of them. I've bought quite a few things. But then at the same time, I feel like I'm also being flooded, on Instagram and things like that with people taking donation challenges and tagging friends and what they're reading. And people using the stay home sticker. And then it reminds me about just like how many people are experiencing quarantine differently. Not everybody, you know, is able to click on those Instagram ads and buy that cute loungewear set. But there's this sense of community that I'm seeing that is really uplifting. And I feel like especially in the reading community, I wonder, like, have you seen that at all? You know, being an author and, you know, like, especially in YA, I would say, like, so many people are talking about books right now. And I love that.
Yeah, it's really great. So I, for a minute, I was doing, when we were struggling to write, I was doing these writing sprints three times a day with Elizabeth Acevedo. And like, just taking the time to sit down, knowing that somebody is doing this at the same time, there is a sense of community that kind of engenders. And so I do a live with Angie Thomas, usually on Thursdays. We're doing it actually tonight. We didn't do Thursday this week because we did a bunch of stuff last weekend. But like, we'll do one tonight just kind of for poops and giggles. And seeing people tune in basically to listen to us be foolish, it's just like, it's a really good feeling knowing that people are trying to stay connected. I think that, like, it's interesting because before quarantine, there were all of these reports and this like fear, I guess, that social media was destroying our ability to connect for real. And I'm like, I think maybe now we're having to revisit that a little bit because it's the only way we can stay connected right now. And I think it's been pretty beneficial. I'm thankful for it. I totally agree. Yeah.
I know. I'm thankful for it. And one thing that I've been doing, you know, I've been doing so many more Zoom calls and FaceTimes, and I've been doing a weekly family Zoom call with my extended family, my cousins and aunts and uncles, and we've been doing it every Saturday. And I was thinking, I was like, when in my life have I ever talk to these people every single week, you know, see them at holidays and see them, you know, for graduations and things like that. But an ongoing call where we're actually checking in on each other's lives, I'm like, this is actually kind of amazing. And it makes me think about how we'll continue, I think, some of the good parts of quarantine when this is all over. You know, I think that staying connected, being more in tune with what other people are doing and feeling, and I hope that there's some good that comes out of this.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I hope we do actually continue to stay connected. Yeah. I will say the one thing that I think everybody is coming to realize is there are a lot of inequities, right? Like, there are a lot of people mm-hmm. who, I think, I'm totally taking us heavy, but I'm sure you were expecting that because you know who you're talking to. I have been thinking a lot about people who are incarcerated, right? A lot of, especially kids, are a lot of incarcerated kids who are not having the best time right now. You know, like, they are not being permitted to leave these spaces that could potentially become kind of hotbeds of coronavirus. They're having to stay in close quarters. The only option to not be in close quarters is to basically be in a type of solitary confinement. So just thinking about those people and knowing that I'm thinking about those people, knowing that, of course, I will continue to think about those people, but hoping that other people who are now thinking about people that they maybe wouldn't have thought about before are considering, like, not only helping them, but like that those people they weren't thinking about before stay on their minds after this is over. Does that make sense? Like, if you
it
are
makes
suddenly
total
yeah,
sense.
Like, you care about people who are homeless now, hopefully that's something that carries on past, you know, when you can go back out on the streets.
Right, exactly. And now when you think about essential workers, I think people will think about that a lot differently, like people who might not have considered the people working at their grocery store an essential worker. But it makes you really, like, not want to take that for granted anymore. And I think that that mentality, I have hope that that will stay the same after this is all over. And to your point about incarcerated youth in particular, I mean, that obviously makes me think about your books. I can't help myself there and okay. thinking a little bit about your upcoming book, Dear Justice. So I have to ask, you know, that's obviously such a special topic to you and an important topic to you. And I'd love to know, what made you want to revisit the world of Dear Martin and kind of bring Kwan's story to light a little bit more in Dear Justice? And can you tell me a little bit more about that thought process?
Yeah, like, I wish it was as romantic as people want it to be, but it was a combination of a set of text messages I got from two mentees and my editor being like, I want a story about Kwan. Those two things just happened kind of in tandem. And it was just this kind of moment of kismet where I realized it was another story to tell that I hadn't told in Dear Martin. I would get a lot of people who would read Dear Martin and would hold Justice up as this, like, bastion of what a Black boy should be like. And it irritated the crap out of me because it's like, Justice, his situation was unique, right? A lot of kids who wind up in trouble don't have a supportive home life. They don't have a parent who is going to make sure that they are doing the right thing, you know? So I wanted to tell the story of the kid who grows up in the same neighborhood as Justice, but has a completely different experience. These two boys who texted me basically asking me to tell their story, they read and loved Dear Martin, but in a lot of ways they weren't able to connect with Justice. Like, they're not going to Yale, You know, they're not the captain of the debate team. They struggle to stay out of trouble, you know, like even going to school every day is a feat. I'm really proud of both of them. They both are graduating now. I met them when they were sophomores, and the book is dedicated to one of them. So I leaned on them, talking to them, and I also leaned on things that I learned and saw and got to experience when I visit juvenile detention centers, because I visit quite a few of them. And a few in particular stand out because of the stories I learned from the kids who are there and hearing their stories, hearing, you know, what they did to get there. And they're very like open. They were very open with me about it. And it really made me want to highlight and tell a different story than I told the first time.
Yeah. And you've been visiting, you know, detention centers for a long time now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I started in 2017, around the time Dear Martin came out. Yeah.
And then do you think that, because I feel like once, you know, again, taking it back to quarantine and thinking about, you know, what's one of the first things we want to do when we get out, I wonder if there will kind of be a sense of people wanting to volunteer more and do more things that feel like they are making a difference. So I feel like your book, Dear Justice, is coming out at a good time that will hopefully maybe inspire people to want to take that kind of action, or maybe write letters to somebody who is in a juvenile detention center, or make those visits or volunteer in some way and just take action. I feel like that's something that I feel like I'm seeing is like people are craving that and wanting to do more. So have you thought about, you know, your book coming out at a time that, you know, this has changed everybody's lives, right? So, and like that, how that might help spark some of that change?
I mean, yes and no. Like, I've been thinking a lot about what I specifically can do using my platform to encourage people to care more about other people. Like that is the core of just about everything I do. I want us as human beings to see each other as human beings and to do more just caring about each other, caring about how each other is doing, reaching out, like, how can I be of service to you? How can I make you less miserable? I've learned a lot in therapy. My therapist and I have had, there was one conversation we had in particular that completely upended my worldview. And we were talking about how at our core, everybody's miserable. Like, and it's true, but it's a very true thing. Life is hard. Everybody has something they're struggling with. You could be the richest person on earth and you would have something that you're struggling with. I think about mental health, for instance. You know, some of the richest, most famous people struggle with depression. That's not a fun thing. Mm-hmm. As a person who has also struggled with depression, I can tell you that's not a fun thing. So just knowing that, like, everybody's miserable in one way or another. I can't make anybody happy. You can't make anybody happy. Nobody has the power to make anybody else happy, but we can work to make each other less miserable. Like, I can do one thing to make a person less miserable for a brief moment in time. And if that's something, if that's a message that I can spread, like, we all have the power to make each other less miserable, I will have, like, done my job.
I love that. And I love that. I love the kind of like the feeling of inside that I can't control like how you feel or what you're going to do, but I can control what I am going to do and what I say. And if I choose to use those words or those actions to spread a little bit more joy, then I think that I can sleep better at night. You know, like that's a nice message. And I feel like books in general are part of that. So like being an author, like you are giving, you know, and especially right now, it's an escape. And, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, working, you know, obviously I work in publishing and my life is books in a lot of ways. But outside of that, in my personal life, I'm like, I just reread the 7th Harry Potter for like the 1,000,000th time. Proud Hufflepuff over here. I know you're a Slytherin. And I just like, I needed that. I really needed that. And it made me happy. And it kind of like made me forget about, you know, the misery, you know, to use that miserable word for a little while. And I loved that. So it's that comfort, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I've been putting my first ever novel. I wrote this novel, I think I was 28. First thing I ever wrote, it's long as crap. It's like 125,000 words, which for me now is literally three books. Like, I typically am not writing a book longer than 40,000 words now. So this is like a three book length book for me, but I've been putting it on Wattpad just because why not, right?
So why not?
I put it on Wattpad, and these kids, specifically kids, are getting to read this thing that I wrote when I was, you know, trying to figure out how to write. And I think even little things like that, these little actions where like you're letting people see you, are super helpful when it comes to just trying to engender this compassion in other people. I think we all just want to know that we're not alone, especially right now. Like, and knowing that like my first book was full of tropes and cliches and like, yes, it's funny. And yes, it's kind of swoony at times. It's not anything I think anybody would be willing to publish, right? But having people read it and see where I started, I think is like a really powerful thing. So the authenticity I'm seeing from people has been amazing. The people are talking a lot about books, and you're getting to hear their true feelings about them. The number of authors doing Instagram lives and just kind of talking to each other and doing these virtual events, like it's made me a lot less miserable. I'll put it like that.
Right. And a lot less feeling alone. And I think like the virtual events is a good example. And I think kind of what you're saying about people being real, you know, like kind of going back to what we first started talking about, like I'm on all these professional calls with my colleagues wearing no makeup in their homes with their sweatshirt on, you know, like people doing these different virtual events. It's authors like in their actual homes, and you're getting a glimpse into people's real lives. And I think it's kind of that reminder that we are real people all going through this. And it makes me kind of happy to see, you know, my boss with like her messy bun, you know, and like things like that. And it's a togetherness. We're all in this together.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, let's hold on to that. That's like my only hope. Totally. Is that we hold on to that as we move out of it.
When we get out of this, where we're going to, first, we're going to still be nice to each other, right?
Yes.
But what's the first thing you want to do for yourself, like as a treat to yourself? Is it going to be like a mani-pedi? Are you going to get your eyebrows done? I want to know what that like first thing.
Oh, no. I have like a whole day planned. There's a facial inside a sauna pod. I will be going to get a wax. My eyebrows will be done. Mani-pedi. And then I'm going to come back home and have like three or four Bloody Marys with slices of bacon. Like, we're just gonna just have a really great getting back into my like self. It's funny. It's really funny because this is something I've been thinking about, is like how when I feel my best in a very unnatural state, right? Like my eyebrows right now are in their natural state. The rest of me is very much in its natural state. And I'm like, let's get rid of all of this stuff because I feel better when it's not there. It's fascinating. Fascinating.
It really is. Okay. Question. If you had to choose between getting your eyebrows done or touching up, like having bad roots, what would you choose? Like you can only have one. Like you have to get your roots done or your eyebrows.
I would do my eyebrows just because like when it comes to my roots, I make sure that when I get my hair colored, having the grow out looks natural. Does that make sense?
Like totally. I do, like, I agree. Same.
And I do. I change my hair color every 6 months. So it's going to be a minute with this color though.
Oh, yeah.
My plum.
Here we are. Okay, so if you had to pick between pedicure or manicure?
I would probably do the pedicure. Because I mean, like, obviously I can do them both myself, but like it's easier for me to do my fingernails and my toenails. This is another area where I feel absurd because like I can see the healthy nail growing now because I haven't been without gel in 3 years. Like all of these things, like my like regular every 10 days, I go get my mm-hmm. mani pedi done again. Every two or three months, I'm getting my hair color touched up. Every month, I'm going to do this treatment and that treatment. And now it's like, oh, I have a mustache. This isn't... Take care of
this
that.
This is the new me. I know.
Right. Like, I know, what's right? going and I'm on? Like,
and I, for some reason, I cannot... tolerate the pain of plucking my own eyebrows. Like, you would think I could after doing it since I was a teenager, but I can't. So I'm just not. So what you see is what you get for right now. So, you know, that's my quarantine look, and we're just going to own
it. Pillars, like, it's funny. Right. But it's funny, it's right? Totally like, what if we all just embrace, like, our natural selves? It won't happen. Like, it's certainly not going to happen for me. Like, I am losing it without my first world creature comforts, specifically first world beauty creature comforts. Like, I'm woo, but it makes me wonder about, like, what the world would be like if, like, women just had hairy legs and their eyebrows grew the way that they did, and if you have chin hairs, they're just there. Like, it's not a big deal.
There they are.
Beauty norms, man. Everybody needs to read The Bells by Donyell Clayton, because she goes in.
Oh, I heard that's really good.
It's so good. And, like, I'm only saying this because we're talking about beauty norms and how, like, sort of ridiculous they are, especially when it comes to women. Like, we are, we really go through it.
We really go through it. I mean, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I have been trying on my jeans once a week just to make sure they still fit.
Word.
Right? Like, word. I mean, who cares if they fit? But I don't know. For some reason, I have to do it. And so I have my one jean day a week and I wear them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's for my peace of mind or what, but it's happening.
Whatever it's for, if it's making you feel better, I'm all for it.
That's
You're
right.
Certainly not hurting anybody else.
That's true. All right, my friend, this was so fun to catch up with you. I hope that you and your family stay safe. I hope we can catch up soon and cannot wait for Dear Justice to come out.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Books Connect Us. For more great book recommendations and information about your favorite authors, feel free to follow Penguin Random House on social media or visit penguinrandomhouse.com. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as it helps more listeners to find our show. This podcast is produced by Pat Stango and edited by Clayton Gumbert. I've been Erin Leaf, and until next time, this has been Books Connect Us.